Our guest is Mital Kotecha, head of emerging market strategy at TD Securities. You know, it's unusual for us to talk about Turkey on this program, but I figure you're the perfect person, Mital, to talk to about it. This was another sort of seemingly crazy move that that we've been getting in Turkey. I'm just curious whether or not you think that this kind of action can somehow spread throughout emerging markets at all. Inflation is running at 80% in the country, and they're cutting interest rates.
Yeah, hi, Brian. Well, look, I think firstly, I don't expect it to spread across emerging markets. I think this is fairly isolated. We know Turkey has an unorthodox policy stance. And as you mentioned, with inflation at 80%, real rates, you know, down 64 odd percent, it's very, very difficult to be able to be cutting rates for any central bank in that environment. So we think ultimately this will mean that Turkey will have to hike and ramp up rates pretty aggressively in the months ahead. It's hard to sustain this. And also the backlash of this will probably be felt on the currency. So we could see the lira in the next few weeks push through 19 versus a dollar. So this is unlikely to go, you know, in a time when inflation is so rampant, it is obviously a misstep in terms of policy action.
Let's talk about China and what we're expecting there, particularly when we're continuing to see pretty much every day these growth forecasts cut, and you're among them. And we had Goldman and Nomura yesterday. You've got China's growth forecast at 2.9% for 2022. It's such a complication for the PBOC, which is trying to stimulate the economy. Just tell us your concerns about China's challenges.
Yeah, I think there are many challenges ahead for China. Clearly, the COVID escalation again, and the fact that we still have this dynamic clearing or zero COVID policy in place means that there is a lot of caution still from consumers, and retail activity in general, service sector is still under some pressure as domestic tourism and spending remains pressured by worries about mass testing and COVID infections. And at the same time, of course, now we've got this heat wave and energy pressures that are taking place, adding to some of the weakness on activity. And on top of that, China's property sector is clearly a major weight on the economy. Consumers, property buyers have really been very reluctant to purchase housing at a time when they're not even knowing when or whether these properties will be finished entirely. So there's a bit of a crisis there in confidence, and the property sector is really weighing on a lot of sectors of the economy in China. So many challenges ahead. We are seeing a ramp up in infrastructure spending. Exports are a little bit more resilient, but I don't think this is going to be enough to really get growth back on a firmer stance.
Yeah, with the currency weaker, might send that signal. But as you say, it's kind of like a big stop sign for investing in China. I wonder whether it goes so far as to say that these huge flows that we've seen into the bond market over time, really, I mean, since Xi Jinping started this, whether that gets completely reversed. I mean, does a lot of money want to flee China now? Or is it just sort of like, well, we'll hang in there and see what happens?
Well, I think if you look at foreign flows into China, last several months, we have had negative or outflows from Chinese bond markets from foreign investors. And that clearly has been a culmination of all of these factors weighing on foreign investor appetite for China. At the same time, equity flows were weak. We had a little bit of bounce back as people or investors saw value in China equities. But clearly, at the moment, the bond market may be one of the places to be in China because bond yields are actually continuing to move lower. Growth worries are adding to that stress. A lack of credit growth is also helping bonds.
So lots to talk about. I wanted to ask you a quick question about Larry Summers. He sat down with David Westin, as he does week in and week out on David's show. And he talked about how China surpassing the United States is another story that we've seen many times before. Japan surpassing the U.S. back in 1980, and thoughts that Russia would do so at some point as well. Just wanted to get your thoughts on this, on whether or not China is faltering enough now that it really sets back that argument, and whether it might never happen.
It's a good question. I think certainly sets back the argument. I wouldn't necessarily say it means that it won't happen. I think the trajectory is probably still there. Obviously, China is struggling at the moment to rebound post-COVID, and that's obviously going to delay that relative strength of its economy. But I think while China is on a longer-term, slower economic path, it's still probably going to have that momentum to eventually get there and on par with the US and greater. So I think it's just a delayed action rather than something that's been derailed completely. But nonetheless, I think it is right to question that at this point, given some of the structural challenges that China is facing.
Because it is frustrating for investors that want to have long-term exposure to China. I mean, they look at a country that has so much potential and has exhibited so much growth over the past 25 years, and the animal spirits are being suppressed at the moment, but they really can be restored at some point. What do you think the key is to restoring that?
I think clearly COVID has been a major issue, and that's hit production activity. It's restrained supply chains multiple times. Obviously, it's eased now in terms of supply chains. But this has affected businesses in China and clearly weighed on investment and made a lot of people rethink about investment plans. So I think, you know, you really need, there needs to be a reassessment of zero COVID policy. And if that does happen, that could change things. And I think ultimately already what we've seen in the last couple of years is a shift of supply chains, more regionalization. I think that trend probably continues. So I'm not necessarily saying that China is not going to be a place to invest, but I think a lot of investors are reassessing the potential for the country going forward.
Yeah, we wrote a piece yesterday on the terminal that talks about how North Asia has kind of gotten the COVID story wrong, and Southeast Asia has done a much better job. And I know that you're prepared to talk about how the baht has outperformed as tourists get back into Thailand. But it's not just Thailand, is it?
No, that's right. What we've seen through COVID is those external-led economies, Korea, Taiwan, China, have really benefited from exports of stay-at-home goods, technology, et cetera, even furniture. But now there is a rebalancing taking place. Domestic-led economies are really bouncing back. As you mentioned, tourism is picking up in the region. And obviously, the reduction of COVID measures is helping on that front. At a time on the external side for these export-driven countries, when things are slowing down in the US and Europe and elsewhere, and of course, China's economy slows down, so that is going to hurt trade-orientated countries. So I think we're going to see a rebalancing continuing in the next few months.
On some of the info that we've got from corporates, just in particular the last couple of days, maybe a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Cisco talked about how supply chains are clearing a little bit and some of those issues. And then we heard from Applied Materials today, and it actually raised its forecast for the current quarter. Is there enough there to hang your hat on, or do you think caution is the byword?
No, I think there is definitely a significant easing of supply chain pressures. I mean, that's one thing that China's authorities have been focusing on, just to make the whole logistical pressures ease significantly. And even if COVID does ramp up again, we're not going to see the same sort of closures and supply chain restrictions as we've seen in the past. So I think that's fair to say supply chains are easing. That's going to help goods prices globally, including in the US, and certainly help the inflation momentum to move lower in many economies as China's supply chains do ease up. But look, I think for businesses, there are other question marks. And, you know, I mentioned the zero COVID policy, obviously China-US trade tensions, and of course, the stance on Taiwan. There's a number of issues that businesses still have to consider. So
yeah, absolutely.
You know, supply chains are easing. That will help.
Yeah, I was just thinking just in the past couple of days that we're not hearing so much about the Ukraine war. I mean, unfortunately, that's bad for Ukraine, maybe not so bad for Russia, but it doesn't seem to be that big of a market issue. We'll discuss that next time. Middle Kotecha from TD Securities. This is Bloomberg.